Is our text. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So far, God's word. Let's bring this word before him in prayer as we ask for a blessing on it. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we have this opportunity, this privilege to open your word together this morning. Lord, you know where our hearts are at. You know our needs, you know the struggles that we are facing, you know the challenges, you know the joys that we have as well. Meet us where we need to be met this morning. Speak to our hearts. Through your Holy Spirit, we pray, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the milestones of a baby as they start to grow up is they begin to speak. And there's one word that parents don't have to teach their children, and that word is... No, absolutely. That word is no. Don't know why, but kids don't need to be taught that. But boys and girls, there are also two words that your parents taught you at a very early age. Two words that they say you always need to use. Can anyone tell me what they think those two words are? I'm going to ignore that one. Yes, at the back there, Riley. Yes, that's one word. When someone gives you something, what do you say, Michael? Thank you, that's right. Thank you, you say. Thank you. And as we've taught our girls, and we still teach our girls, and we still remind ourselves, that's something that you never, ever should stop doing. No matter whether you're one or one and a half, or whether you're 99 years old, you should always say thank you. It's polite. It's good. It's a way of giving thanks and being thankful for what someone has done for you or who they are. And this morning, as we think about Harvest Sunday and the harvest, the blessings that God gives us in produce, but also in life, we're reminded of our need to be thankful. I was looking for a psalm to reflect a thankful attitude, and Psalm 100 begins like this: a psalm for giving thanks. What better psalm to have and use than that one? So this morning we're going to unpack Psalm 100 together as we consider how we as Christians should give thanks, say thank you to our God. And this morning we're going to see through the psalm that we're called to thank God for what he has done and for who he is. We are called to give thanks to God for what he has done and for who he is. We're going to ask two questions this morning. The first is, how do we give thanks? The second is, why do we give thanks? So the first question this morning is, how do we give thanks? Psalm 100 has four commands. The first three commands discuss the how. If you have your Bibles open there before you, you'll see those three commands. Make a joyful noise, serve the Lord, come into his presence. We're going to look at each of those in turn. In our ESV Bibles, we have there in verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord. If you've got one of the NIV Bibles or another version, it might say, shout to the Lord. Is that right? Or is an NIV there? Does it say, shout to the Lord? Shout to the Lord. That's right. Or worship the Lord is another one. And that gives us a picture of how we are to come and worship before God. We're to make a joyful noise to him as we sing, literally shout. And that calls us right off the bat to think about how do we come and worship to God. What attitude do we have as we come and worship? We are called to come and make a joyful noise. We're called to rejoice as we come to him. That means that we're called to engage in worship. What does that mean? Well, sometimes at home, I'm asked to do something that I don't want to do. I go and do it. But as I go and do it, it's quite clear as I'm doing it that I'm not really that happy about what I'm doing. We can come to worship that way as well. We're here because we have to. We're here because our parents make us. We're here because we know that people are going to chase us up if we don't come to worship. They chase us up because they care, but that's aside. We'd rather be somewhere else. That's not the way we're called to come and to worship. We're called to come and joy. We're called to come and give thanks to God. We're called to take part in worship. So as we do that, that means that we're thinking about what we're singing. We're thinking about the words. We're praying. We're thinking about the prayers. We're praying with the pastor as he preaches. We're seeking to understand what we're singing. Sometimes that does take some work. It's easy to be singing and your mind wanders about something else as you're singing along, but shouting for joy, bringing a joyful noise to the Lord, means that we're thinking about what we're singing. We're engaging with what we're singing. And the word here literally is, as some of you have it in your Bibles, shout to the Lord. That doesn't mean we should shout out our singing, but it's the idea of giving the Lord everything in worship. And kids, young kids, seem to get that often better than us adults. And for that reason, I would argue that we should never, ever hush our children when they're singing. It's a joy to hear them singing at the top of their lungs, out of tune, and maybe even sometimes the wrong words. But they're singing and shouting and making a joyful noise to the Lord. Let's learn from our kids. Let's sing with joy. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. The second command is to serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord in gladness. In our NIV Bibles, we might have worship the Lord, but it's actually the idea of service that is a better translation as we have it here in our ESV Bibles. Serve the Lord with gladness. What does that look like? We serve the Lord when we come to him in worship, but the idea is bigger than that. We also serve the Lord. We also give thanks to the Lord as we serve others. As we serve his church. We give thanks to God as we give the church and his kingdom our time, our money. As we use our talents in the church. And so practically that means helping out our brothers and sisters with a meal. Offering to babysit for a young couple so that they can go out and spend some time together. Asking your brothers and sisters, how can I pray for you? Placing others first. That's giving thanks. That's thanking God. So how about you? Do you serve the Lord with gladness? Or do you consider it a chore to serve the Lord? A chore to help out to serve others and grumble as you do so? And serving the Lord with gladness, serving in his kingdom, does take sacrifice. Someone once said to me that godly people are busy people, or busy people are godly people. And that's true. And I use this excuse all the time myself. I'm busy. But I think we need to be really careful there. We use our busyness as an excuse. Maybe we're too busy. One of the things that many of us found in lockdown, that was that life was simpler. Life was had less demands. Life was less cluttered. While we weren't able to spend time together as a church family or with friends, we could spend some quality family time. But how quickly that changed. How quickly we got back into the hustle and bustle of life as we came out of lockdown. Life just went back to its usual busyness. I want to be really frank here this morning. If your work means that you're unable to serve the church, if you are so busy in life, not even work and family or whatever, that you're not able to serve the kingdom, then you are too busy and you've got your priorities in the wrong place. Serving the Lord with gladness means that you are serving your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are serving in his kingdom. You're missing what really matters if you're too busy for the Lord's work. How do we give thanks to God? We make a joyful noise to him, but we also serve him with gladness. And then we have a third command here as we consider how we serve the Lord, how we give thanks, I should say. And that command there is in the second half of verse 2. Come into his presence with thanksgiving or with singing. Thanksgiving is another way to put it here. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. And this is a call to come together as God's people. Called to join together with God's people and give thanks. Yes, we can worship God on our own. We can worship God out in creation. Can't see the mountains there today, but imagine the mountains there. We can go out on top of the mountains and worship God. We can worship God on the beach. But here in our passage, it's particularly clear that we're called to gather together to give our thanks to God together. That's clear from verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. As the psalmist wrote this passage, he would have been thinking about the temple, gathering together as God's people. Today for us, that's gathering together here in church. Coming together to give God thanks. Coming together as God's people to say thank you to God. Do you see worship in that way? Do you see worship as coming and bringing glory to God, giving thanks for who he is and what he has done? Give thanks to God. We do that as we come together in worship, but also as we invite others. Notice what it says there in verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. All of creation is called to come and give thanks and praise God. So part of this call in this psalm is to go out and spread the gospel, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ, so that others too may learn about Jesus Christ, that others too may come and worship and give thanks to God for Jesus Christ. It's a call to bring the gospel out so that God may have more worshippers to come and give him thanks. We give thanks as we make a joyful noise to the Lord, as we serve him with gladness day in, day out, as we come together as his people. But if we stop there this morning, all we've got is a list of commands to do. And in our second point, and in the fourth command, the psalmist tells us why we should give thanks and rehearses and shows us a few reasons as to why we should be thankful. So that's our second point this morning. Why do we give thanks? In verse 3, the psalmist says, know that the Lord, he is God. Think about, ponder on, reflect on, meditate on who God is. And he tells us first of all, that he is God. He is God. Allah is not God. Buddha is not God. Ranganui, the Maori God of the sky, is not God. You are not God. There is only one God. And this God has done many great things. Many reasons for which we should be thankful. We can be thankful to him because he is our creator. The psalmist says there in verse 3. It is he who made us. The mere fact that you're sitting here this morning, that you're living, that you're breathing, is because God made you. A reason to give him thanks. And because he made us, he is the one who is in charge. He is the creator. We are the created. We are the creatures. And most religions of the world get this wrong. They want to bring themselves up to God's level, equal with God, or rather drag him down, expecting God to work according to our rules, according to our program. But brothers and sisters, we can be thankful that we're not in charge. Imagine the mess this world would be if human beings were really in charge. God made us. But the psalmist goes on and makes that relationship even deeper. He says there, we are his. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Notice the word that is used for God there in verse 3. It says, know that the Lord, and that word is a word we come across often. Big capital L and small capitals O-R-D. That's a special word. A word that the people of Israel hearing the psalm, first of all, would have known very well. That word screams out covenant God, relationship God, the God who cares for his people, who loves his people, the God who made his people his. The God who is a redeemer. The God who saved his people. The God who sent his son down on the cross to pay the price for our sin. The people of Israel at the time of Psalm 100 were looking forward to that day when the Messiah, the Savior, would come. We look back and we can give thanks to God for his blessings, and especially the blessing of making us his people. Of making us his sheep. Of giving us a Savior that we can call the Good Shepherd. Of knowing that Shepherd, as we read about in John chapter 10, we can give thanks that God loves us so much that he didn't reject us, but he chose to make us his children. The psalmist gives us the reasons for giving thanks to God because of what he does. He created us. He made us his sheep. He made us his people. But also, we are to give thanks to God for who he is. And for that, we look there at verse 5. In verse 5, we read this, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." God is good. He is different to Allah, the Muslim God. Allah, according to Muslim religion, is the God who can change his mind. A God who can be angry one moment and different the next. You never know how you stand with Allah. You might catch him on a bad day or a good day. God is good. He is always good. God can do no wrong. And in fact, he works all things together for the good of those who love him, for all of his people, for all who believe in him and Jesus Christ. God works even the bad for us, the bad that happens to us and in us, for his good. A reason to give thanks to him. The psalmist goes on. God is steadfast. His love cannot change forever. With God, you never have to play a game of, he loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. When I first met my wife, Hanukkah, I was in love. 23 odd years now, down the track, I'm still in love, and I'm more in love than the day we first met. My love continues to grow. But you know that God's love is not like that? God's love cannot grow. God's love cannot get more for us, because God's love never changes. As we become his children, God can never love us any more or any less, because his love never changes. God can never ever fall out of love with us, or love us less, or love us more, because his love is perfect and complete. Think about that. No matter what we do, if we are his, not an excuse to sin, but no matter what we do, he can never ever love us any less. That's worth giving him thanks for. And then God is faithful. God is faithful. Sometimes we have to break our promises. Parents make promises to children. Promise to do something, but then something comes up and they're unable to do it, or they simply forget. You make a promise to meet someone and something comes up and you're unable to make that appointment, or you simply just let someone down. Not so with God. He always keeps his promises, every single one of them. Every single word that he says is true. Every single promise that you can read here in his word always comes true. Why do we give thanks to God? We give thanks to God because he is God, but also because he is our God. Because he cannot be anything but good to us. His love never changes. His faithfulness, his promises remain true forever. Brothers and sisters, as we think about that, we have so much to be thankful for. And this morning we've only just begun to scratch the surface. Can I encourage you this afternoon around the lunch table to spend some time giving and talking about what you are thankful to God for, what blessings he has given you, what he has done for you. This afternoon, as we gather together as God's people, we spend some time in church family prayer, and we're generally pretty good at bringing requests to God. But one of the challenges that we have, and what we're not so good at, is thinking about what we're thankful for. So can I encourage you this afternoon? I'm not going to be there. Chibba's going to lead us in prayer. Can I encourage you, as Chibba asks for a request this afternoon, to think about some things that you are thankful to God for? But don't just stop there. We've been reminded this morning about who God is and what he has done for us, the blessing that we have in Jesus Christ, that he is our Redeemer, the gifts that he's given us, because that's there in the into how we give things. So how can you serve the Lord in his kingdom? How are you serving the Lord? How are you giving thanks and praising him in worship, but in your life generally? There is an everlasting kindness, says the songwriter, you lavished on us. When the radiance of heaven came to rescue the lost, you called the sheep without a shepherd to leave their distress, for your streams of forgiveness and the shade of your rest. What boundless love, what fathomless grace you have shown us, O God of compassion. How do we respond? Each day we live an offering of praise as we show to the world your compassion. How beautiful the feet that carry this gospel of peace to the field of injustice and the valleys of need, to be a voice of hope and healing, to answer the cries of the hungry and the helpless with the mercy of Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's serving the Lord with gladness. What boundless love, what fathomless grace you have shown us, O God of compassion. Each day we live an offering of praise as we show to the world your compassion. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, this morning we begin by simply thanking you. We thank you that you are God. But more than that, we thank you that you are our God. That you made us your children. That you made us your sheep. We praise you this morning and give you thanks for the work of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness. We praise you for your love that doesn't change. That we should always know, that we can always know how we stand with you, because we are in Jesus Christ, holy, righteous, and good. We thank you that we can trust in your promises. But Heavenly Father, we pray that we won't just leave it there, but rather we will consider and be challenged this morning how we worship you, how we bring our praise to you, what hearts, what attitudes we come as we come to you in worship, but also in our daily lives, how we serve you with gladness. Forgive us this morning for our selfishness. Forgive us for busyness for the sake of busyness. Forgive us for our wrong priorities. Rather, Lord, help us to serve you not out of duty, not out of obligation, but because we are thankful for your mercies, your grace, your love, your blessings to us. Indeed, Heavenly Father, may we simply come to you and say, it's all yours. Our time, our money, our relationships, our most prized possessions, may we come and bring them before you as an offering of praise and say, here I am, Lord. Use me for your kingdom, because I'm thankful for your grace to us. Help us to bring that message of hope to others. Lord, we pray that you may use the relationships that we have with others to bring more worshippers for you, to bring more people who are thankful for you. To you. We pray this with thanks, thankful for the work of Jesus Christ, our King, our Redeemer, our Saviour, in whose name we pray and say together as God's people, Amen. Let's stand now and sing the words of that psalm we've just considered, Psalm 100. Shout to the Lord with joy. Mm-hmm.